This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
My name is Christoph. I'm the CEO of Bitmachina. So I come from a legal background. I practice as a litigator for about 2 years in Montreal before launching the business. So we started the business as a Bitcoin ATM company. We chose to found it in Ottawa because I'm a lawyer from Quebec, and I looked for the closest place where there was a big city that wouldn't be in Quebec, because at the time, the only province that was enforcing any sort of regulations on Bitcoin ATM companies was Quebec. Therefore, we chose Ontario, and then later on, we became regulated by FinTrac, just like any other money service businesses. But anyways, we started with one Bitcoin ATM that is still operational to this day in Orleans at Tyrell Shawarma. And from there, we expanded. We added other Bitcoin ATMs to our network. And after that, we developed our own software to power what we called Bitcoin counters, which are really agents who are selling Bitcoin for us. So we equip them with POS devices like these. You've probably seen them if you've been to different convenience stores. So people can go to our locations and merchants can sell cryptos on our behalf. So people give cash and customers receive cryptos. And from there, we have expanded. So now we have locations in Quebec, and we have recently entered the Toronto market. So we have locations anywhere from Montreal to Toronto now. But the heart of the business is really in Eastern Ontario and mostly Ottawa, because this is where we started.
And what's the long-term vision for the business, Christoph? Do you want to be right across Canada? Is this a North American initiative, world initiative? What does this look like?
So basically, our goal right now would be to be, we really want to focus on Canada. So first, we want to expand more in Ontario and Quebec before even thinking about other provinces. Thing is that we really want to dominate some markets before we can expand further, because otherwise we're dividing our forces. It's not really the best way onward to grow. But that's the vision. Long term is really to sell cryptos from an ocean to the other, basically anywhere between Nova Scotia to up to British Columbia would be the end goal. And recently what we started to do is that we started to sell virtual currencies to people who want to buy more, like larger volume, because Bitcoin ATMs and Bitcoin counters are they're limited. There's a smaller limit. We don't want people to be able to go to an ATM and put 100 grand right in an ATM. That's way too risky for different reasons. But we, since a few months ago, we started to offer a higher-end service for people who want to buy more. So the idea is that they can buy more and they get a cheaper rate.
And what have been some of the challenges you faced in starting this business, especially in the crypto space, where so much is by the average person is somewhat unknown? Is there an education here you have to do, or what's been the biggest challenge?
Yeah, there's a lot of education. I come from a non-technical background. Obviously, being a lawyer is super helpful navigating that landscape, right? Because there are new regulations popping up all the time, and you need to adjust. But the truth is that there was a learning curve. It was very, very important for me, and technical learning curve. You always need to not necessarily understand why everything works, but you have to be able to adjust to new realities in terms of technology. Because Bitcoin hasn't changed that much over the years, but the service providers do change. The way the provide services will change. Costs will also have a big impact on what you will deploy, technologically speaking, right? Because the price of Bitcoin keeps increasing, and a lot of fees that are being paid are paid in Bitcoin. So as you can imagine, well, the higher the price goes, yeah, people get more excited, and it's good for sales, but at the same time, it's pretty bad for cost management. Therefore, that's a really big challenge. Like, you always have to think of new ways that you can cut down your cost, because the underpinning currency that we're all basing our cost on is increasing in price over time. So that has been a big challenge. I would say another big challenge is the fact that, unfortunately, we're in a very, very, we're almost exclusively doing business in cash. So that causes friction with the banking system. Banks are really not a fan of crypto businesses to begin with. And now, like, if you think of a cash to crypto and crypto to cash business that can literally operate completely outside of the traditional banking system, I mean, forget about it. They're not too keen about it. So that's a challenge. Another challenge is, because it's cash, another challenge is that you have to consider the possibility that you're going to be robbed. We had the ATMs that were robbed previously in Ottawa. So that's also a challenge that you have to face when you're going into that kind of business. And but really, like, the core challenge, I would say, is that, for a reason that I still ignore, it's not easy for us to advertise. A lot of still to this day, a lot of big platforms will prevent us to advertise on their platforms. Like, it's not possible to just launch a Google ads campaign. Whereas in other industries that are also regulated, it's much easier. So that's a very, very big challenge. I believe it has to do something with the banks, but I'm not 100% sure, which is why I don't know why I ignore it's an hypothesis, but maybe there's another reason.
And how did you get into this type of business?
My co-founder, we were discussing at some point, and when he was telling me, it's not a super nice story, but we were just discussing, and he was telling me that when he was looking at the what he thought at the time of being the margins of the credit card industry, he said, "I want to get into that business." And I told him, "Hey, you should look how much Bitcoin ATM operators are charging." And then we just looked at their margin, and then we decided to go in. But we didn't know anything about, like, we were just looking at the markup, right? We didn't know that there were all these costs that we were not considering, which is something I totally ignored at the time. And now, like, Bitcoin ATMs, people were using them, like, they know that the fees are much higher than if you're using a crypto exchange. But the reality is that the costs are completely different, principally due to the fact that we're using cash, and that adds so many fees on top of a lot of transactions.
And did you know a lot about crypto before you got involved with this, or was that kind of part of your process, was learning as you developed the business model?
I did know about cryptos, so I've been investing in crypto since 2017. So I've been playing with cryptos for quite some time before launching that business. But I didn't know that much. I had to learn a lot, and I honestly, I still have to learn a lot. I still have to learn a lot. And as a non-technical person, I'll be very honest with you. Like, if I can't get past the third or the fourth page of the original Bitcoin white paper, I'm getting completely lost after that. I just don't have the maybe the brains or maybe the knowledge to understand the and you really have to keep up. A lot of things are bubbling up all the time, and it is developing in a decentralized manner as well. So something can just pop up from anywhere, and it changes the whole thing.
And that's interesting, right? Because a lot of businesses are like that. So what advice would you give to an entrepreneur that's listening or someone's thinking of starting a business that's in an industry that's always evolving and always changing? You know my background, I own a marketing agency, and it's changing weekly would be an exaggeration, but not by much. So unless people that are going in this industry are willing to commit the time above and beyond office hours. So what advice would you give to someone listening that's maybe in a similar, not a crypto, not necessarily crypto itself, but an industry that's constantly changing?
Sure. So it's a really great question. So I would say that the first advice would be to accept that most of the things, unfortunately, it's impossible to control what's going to unfold in front of you. but you can do your best to adapt and react. How to achieve this? I would say the first thing would be to learn to hire the best people. And you should be patient before you hire, and you shouldn't be too reluctant to fire someone as soon as you think that this is not the right fit. Because it's especially when you start, your first hires are really the most important thing that you're gonna do. And I made that was a mistake that I did in the beginning. Also, and that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs fail to understand, and I was among the entrepreneurs who failed to understand this, is that yes, we're all shooting for the highest sales number, but at the end of the day, what matters is how much you keep in your pocket. So really shoot for the margins and the profits before shooting for the sales. That's very, very, very important, especially in the new this new financial era. Like we're the very low interest rate is gone, so especially these it's much important it's much more important now than it used to be. But even before, I believe that you should always prioritize your margins before your sales. So these would be.
There's a great saying, revenue feeds your family, or revenue feeds your ego, and profit feeds your family. And that's really true.
That's really true. Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to someone I used to work for years ago. He's asking me, different types of service businesses. And I said, well, would you rather have a business that generates, $1 million in revenue, but $500,000 in profit, or a $5 million a year business that generates 500? I'd rather have the million. It's less headaches, less of everything. And I think too many people get, their ego gets in the way, and they just chase this top line, and yet their expenses grow in greater proportion than their top line revenue is growing. So that's a recipe for disaster.
Definitely, definitely. And a lot of founders, they think that because if they have the highest sales metric, like they're gonna be able to raise more funds, which can be true in some types of businesses, but again, like it's a very small minority, and at the end of the day, you're playing with fire when you're doing this. So one bad luck and you're gone.
And depending on the type of business you're in, if you want to have a successful exit, it's much more, I think it's much more important to have a healthy bottom line versus a big top line, but not a healthy bottom line. You'll get
Definitely.
more for your business that way.
Definitely.
Christoph, let me ask you something. A listener that maybe is thinking of starting a business, you've been down this road now, it's been a few years. So what advice would you give that person that may be sitting on the fence? They have an idea, but they're not sure they want to take the plunge.
I would advise that person to try that idea as quickly as possible, but in a very, very limited environment, if I could say it like this. The idea is to control your cost, to keep it down as low as possible, because you never know if something is going to stick on the wall or not, right? So you want to try it out. You want to try it out quick, and then if you see that there is a bite, then you invest more money, and then you make a more complex structure about it, and then you really try to refine your idea, and then you but the first thing I would advise someone to do is to test their idea, because this is really the most important thing. At the end of the day, you're never going to know what's going to work and what's not going to work. The market will tell you.
And by testing, we should clarify, because I think you and I are on the same page. So I have a number of people coming to me, and they say, I showed this idea to my family and my friends, and they all love it. And I said, well, that's great, but that's not a test.
No, that's not a test.
A test is someone going to give you a dollar, actually pay for whatever it is that you do. And I just keep running into it. And they'll even push back with me. No, you don't understand. Like, they really love it. I said, that's fine, but you got to try to find who you're ideal client is, and then whether or not they're actually going to pay for it. Do you agree with that, or do you think you start with family and
Oh,
friends
no, I
and then?
totally agree. I totally agree. Like, it's fine to get feedback from people around you. At the end of the day, we're humans, right? So we need to communicate together to just maybe get some motivation. But the test is, like you said, is someone willing to give you a dollar for what you have to offer? If their answer is no to that, then you need to go back to the drawing board and start over, or at least make it iterations, because otherwise you don't know. You don't know. You're never going to know until someone pays for what you need to, what you're trying to sell. And it doesn't need to be big numbers too. That's the thing. And that's maybe another thing that people are not getting right, is that sometimes you're going to make some sales that of course wouldn't make it a viable life choice if it would stay like this. But what you have to think is that if as soon as someone is ready to make the leap, then it means that A, you can perfect that idea and maybe you can extract way more from there, but you need at least a little something.
There's an online marketing company, as in like an academy, a course, and they have their courses, and they have a free trial, but the free trial is 99 cents. And I thought that was brilliant because they're gonna right away just, who's willing to put their credit card? It's not about the 99 cents.
Of
So
course.
it's a process of putting your credit card in and actually making a payment, no matter how small. And there was a podcast done by the owner. He said basically we got rid of, I think it was 80% of our waste. People that were signing up, they were just signing up because it was free. He says our numbers went down dramatically in terms of the number of signups, but the quality of the individual that signed up. So back to your earlier point, you said it doesn't have to be a big dollar amount, but there's something about that commitment of putting a credit card down, or making withdrawal, or writing a check, or whatever it is that you're doing, that I think that really makes all the difference.
Definitely, definitely does.
What advice would you give to someone that's currently has a business and is struggling? As entrepreneurs, we all, go through phases where we're struggling, and we all deal with it in different ways. So, what advice would you give that person?
Definitely. And I want to start by being very transparent. I've been in business for 5 years and sometimes I'm still struggling. So it's not like I figured out everything. With that said, one thing, like let's say you're going through a rough period, I think that going back to the essential is really, really important. So pick up the phone, call all of your clients, at least the good ones, the ones that are bringing in the most revenues. Ask them if there's anything you can do to make their life easier, just to maintain a relationship. It can be as simple as just reminding them that you exist, or next time that they need to make a whatever to use your services, they're going to think of you first, right? This is the one thing. Another thing, try to focus on the customers, on the clients, on the service that you're providing that is bringing in the most income. That's really important because as entrepreneurs, we get distracted. We want to do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, very often we're faced with the 80-20 rule. I think that's the way it's right. So most of the revenue come from a small percentage of in some industries it might be even 90-10, 95-5. I don't know, but very often the vast majority of your customers are not the one bringing you the bulk of your income. So I think you should really focus on these customers. And unfortunately, nobody likes to do that, but if you're going through a rough period, maybe try to place where you can improve your cash flow. And by that I mean maybe try to cut off hands at least temporarily. Because otherwise, if you're not bringing enough money long term, it's not going to be good for them anyways. Because you're going to go out of business, and then they're going to have to find another job. So maybe it can mean that for a few months you have to cut down hours of people, or maybe you can, if you can't take the pay cut yourself, or if you think it's going to last maybe longer than you expect, then you need to restructure things. So I would say try to sell more to the people who are already buying more and at better margins, and try to reduce your costs always if there's an issue.
That was interesting advice you gave about not necessarily laying people off, but maybe cutting back their hours. I was with an organization a number of years ago, and we were losing money, and we had really good people. So I met with all the individuals and said, "Listen, I got to cut you down to 4 days a week. It's temporary. Stick with me, and I promise you, come out the other side, better than ever." And we did. So I didn't have to lay an individual off. It was tough for those people for, I think it was a 5 or 6 month period where basically they were making 20% less money than normal, but they all bought into it, which to me showed that we had really good corporate culture. And yeah, obviously they more than made that up long term, but everyone assumes you just have to lay people off, like an individual or two. Sometimes you can go about this if you're struggling, asking people to, hey, and they work less hours, but so there's a bit of a trade-off there. But that is an efficient way of doing it for sure. Christoph, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about you and your company?
I'm not posting that much on social medias, but I do have a LinkedIn profile. The company does have a LinkedIn profile. I believe the way we're the most active is on YouTube, mostly publish tutorials once in a while to help people use our services or any crypto services. Usually the content that we post is also can be you can use other service providers and then follow these instructions. We have a Twitter page and a Facebook page. But yeah, that's pretty much it. The most valuable content, I believe, is on YouTube.
And is there, how can they search you on YouTube? How can they make sure they find you and not someone else?
I think the handle is a bit machine, but I wouldn't be. I'm not even sure. I'm
Okay.
sorry.
No, no problem. We'll link it in the show notes for any
All right.
listeners that want to get more information.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate your time today.
Okay. Well, perfect. Thank you for your time as well.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.